Advent, that's what we're focused on. And Advent really is the season when we as a church are meant to pause. We're meant to stop. We're meant to remember, to reflect and rejoice that God stepped into human history, that he wrapped himself in flesh, that he came on a rescue mission to save us. The first Sunday of Advent is traditionally when we celebrate hope. But our hope is not wishful thinking. Our hope is not optimistic, just optimism. Our hope is a confident expectation in the fact that God will keep his promises. Amen. Humans don't necessarily keep their promises. We may, in all of the best intentions, say that we're going to do something and then we forget. And that can be a problem. Last Sunday when we went home from church, Hannah's car was driving in front of mine, and I noticed that she had two of the three rear brake lights were out. And I had every intention to change those bulbs on the Monday. But Monday came and went, Tuesday came and went, Wednesday came and went. And the bottom line is, to cut a very long, boring story short, late last night in the dark, I crawled into the boot of my wife's car to change the bulbs. So I remembered before she needed to use the car. And of course, you know, with one working brake light, the car was still drivable. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous to let things slide that need to be done, that need to be replaced, that need to be fixed. And God provided the best fix for humanity ever in sending his son, his only begotten son. Not because we deserved it, but because he loved us, his creation. So our hope today is in the confident assurance that God is a faithful God, a God who keeps his promises. And there's one verse that perfectly captures the heartbeat of our hope. Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. God cannot do anything that contradicts his nature. God cannot do anything that contradicts who he is. But he is the God of the impossible. Now, this verse for us today is more than just reassurance. This is a proclamation, a promise fulfilled in our Saviour. A promise that came through a miraculous conception. A promise that came as part of an unstoppable plan. A promise of redeeming love that overturns every impossibility. Overwhelming love that overcomes every problem. Overwhelming love that provided salvation for all who will believe. Friends, Advent hope, it's not something that's fragile. It is not something that's sentimental. It's not something that is just seasonal. We should hope in the Lord every day. But at Advent, our hope is anchored once again in the God who makes the impossible possible. First point, the Advent context. God's hope breaks into human impossibility. Before we dig deeper into the verse, we really must stand inside the story. We need to understand the setting, and the setting really is a time of silence and waiting. There was 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. Heaven seemed silent. Israel, well, they waited in darkness. They expressed weary longing for deliverance. And then God broke the silence. And the announcement, well, First of all, Gabriel appeared to a young virgin named Mary. She's poor, she's unknown, she comes from Nazareth, a village so unimpressive that Nathanael later said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Yet God chooses her. He chooses her to be the vessel of his hope. And her response, well, it's a mixture of faith and bewilderment. How can this happen? I'm a virgin. And God answers in Luke 1:37, "For nothing is impossible with God." The phrase "nothing is impossible" uses in the Greek "not to be powerless." God is the God of power, dynamis, divine strength, infinite mercy, amazing love. God literally says to Mary, no word from God lacks the power to be fulfilled. If God says it, he will do it. Advent hope really rests on this truth, friends. God never makes a promise he can't keep. That's a wonderful thought. Second point, God has always brought hope through the impossible. Genesis 18:14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Let's put this into context. Abraham and Sarah, they were promised the son. Yet, they were incredibly old. Not quite impossibly old, but incredibly old. And Sarah laughed. But God replied to her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything too hard for him? God is able to do things that are wondrous. He's able to do things that are extraordinary. He's able to do things far beyond our human capability. And maybe you need God to do something impossible in your life right now. Maybe there's something you've been praying for, a circumstance, a situation that seems to be overwhelming. Trust him. Trust him in all things. And ask yourself the same question, is anything too hard for the Lord? I was speaking to someone a couple of weeks ago and they were sharing with me about a problem that they've got in their life. And they were struggling with their faith. And I asked a simple question. Is the problem you're going through too big for God to handle? And of course the answer is no. God is able to handle everything. But sometimes he allows us to go through certain circumstances and through certain situations to help us to trust him more, to help us to learn, to persevere, to push on in our faith. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. But sometimes, instead of us getting that yes that we want straight away, God says, wait, pause, trust me in this. God can, and he does, act in miraculous ways. But we need to trust him. He is Lord. You know, Advent, it reminds us that the birth of Isaac, that was a foreshadowing of an even greater, humanly speaking, impossible birth, the birth of Jesus Christ. I think what we learn from this is that when our situation looks barren, when our hope looks dead, God is still able to perform a miracle. God is still able to work, to move, to act. John Piper said this, "God is always doing 10,000 things in your life and you may be aware of three of them." The grace of God is a blessing in our lives every single day. I've asked the question before, but I'm going to ask it again. Did you wake up breathing this morning? That's the grace of God. When you went to turn the tap on, I'm assuming you've all had a wash this morning. We won't go there. But when you turn the tap on, did you have water? That's a mercy that many of our brothers and sisters don't have. When you went to the fridge, did you have something to eat? God provides. A brother here looks like he chose to fast this morning. That's his choice. But God provides. I'm assuming we woke up in a bed this morning. Or at least, you know, something that we could sleep comfortably on last night. We have brothers and sisters that struggle to even find a dry corner to sleep in somewhere. God blesses us in so many different ways, and we often just take his blessings for granted. He's a wonderful, loving God. And as we have hope in him, we also need to be thankful for what he does. Even thankful for the little things. You know, Piper is reminding us here that God's hope, that the work that he does is often invisible to us. And then suddenly it can become undeniable. We look back and we realise how God has led us through. There are times when it feels that perhaps we're just stumbling around in the darkness, but God is our light. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6 and 7 says this: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven will make this happen." The perfect ruler. The prophecy of light breaking into the darkness, it was written to a people that were facing invasion, exile, and fear. Human government, human kings couldn't keep them safe, but the God of heaven could. And the prophecy that's given here is fulfilled in Christ. He was born in humility, yet he was destined to reign forever as the everlasting king. I was watching the news this morning, and the current chancellor was being interviewed, and once again was blaming the previous government for the situation the country is in now. The world is very quick to blame other people. At the cross, Jesus bore all of the shame, all of the suffering, all of the blame that should have fallen on us. He didn't deserve to die. He didn't deserve to suffer in the way that he did. But because he suffered, because he died, because of his humility to humble himself, even unto death on a cross, we're set free. He didn't complain about what had gone before. Yes, there were times when he spoke of how the so-called religious lived lives that were anything other than religious. He spoke about sin. He spoke about the problem that humanity had. But rather than blame humanity, he himself became the solution for our sin. He didn't deserve to suffer, yet he chose to suffer in our place. We do not deserve the hope that we have in Christ, but we have it because we have a loving God. We have a wonderful Saviour. We have faith in the risen Lord. And Advent hope, it's not the denial of darkness, because darkness still exists in the world. If we're honest, darkness still exists in our own lives. None of us live the way that we should. None of us have perfect thoughts. None of us are always thinking in the right way. Our thoughts can be the darkest part of our lives. But Christ breaks into that darkness. He illuminates our mind. He brings light into the darkness. Advent hope is the arrival of light in the midst of darkness. Max Lucado said this: God came near so we could know hope that is stronger than any darkness. Isn't that a wonderful truth? This is the heart of Advent. God does not shout hope from afar. He brings hope. He comes near. He draws near to us. And we must draw near to him. God didn't create humanity as mindless puppets. He gives us free will. He gives us the opportunity to choose to come to him. He calls us. He's patient with us. But we have to make the choice to step out of darkness into his marvelous light. The God of all creation, the one who is able to speak the entire universe into existence, gives us the freedom to choose him or reject him. It's incredible, isn't it? Jeremiah 32:17 says this: O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Jeremiah wrote this at a time when Jerusalem was under siege. The nation was facing destruction. Yet Jeremiah speaks a bold prayer of hope. The word that's used here in the Hebrew is pala. What is too extraordinary for man is ordinary for God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think or imagine. But there are those times when we limit God. There are those times when we try and imagine God and his abilities in a way that we can understand. And we say things like, oh, God would never, when actually he may well. Although, if we flip that coin around, there are times when we say, oh, of course God will, but sometimes he chooses not to. God's wisdom is far greater than our wisdom. God's understanding is far greater than our understanding. And the way that we would plan things is not necessarily the way that God would plan them. But nothing is too hard for him. Often we look for hope and we think, oh, if my circumstances could just change. If. We'll always bring an if or a but or a maybe, won't we? When actually we just need to trust the living God. We need to trust his unchanging character. We need to look at a circumstance and say, God is in this. Even though I don't understand everything, even though it looks like it's dark, I trust the light in the darkness. I trust the God of the impossible because nothing is too hard for him. Charles Stanley said this: obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Isn't this good advice that we should all follow? And sometimes we'll take something to God and we pray about it and we wrestle with him, but we still think that we can do something. Friends, we are not the people of the impossible. But we know the God of the impossible. And he is able to do all things, and we need to have faith and trust in him. We need to have a hope that's not passive, a hope that acts in obedience towards God, a hope that trusts in God and trusts him for what will follow. We look back over our lives and we can see God is faithful. We look back over those times of darkness and see how God brought light in the most difficult of circumstances. Advent hope should cause us to remember the hope that has been fulfilled as well as the hope that we still have. In Matthew 19, we discover the impossible miracle of salvation. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "Who then can be saved?" Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, everything is possible." The birth of Christ, it's the doorway that's opened to all who will believe, the doorway to the greatest miracle ever, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of our sins being forgiven, the miracle of us being given a place in heaven for eternity. This is a miracle. Tim Keller said, "The gospel is not good advice, it's good news. Something that has already happened. Christ has come. The Saviour has been born into this world. He lived a perfect, spotless life. He went to the cross. He suffered there in our place. He bled. He died. But on the third day, he rose again. And even now, he's alive. And the wonderful truth is that for all who will believe in him, eternal life is possible. Forgiveness of sins is possible. All because of him. It has already happened. The Jews, they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. They don't recognize Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Islam speaks of Jesus as a prophet. But those who know him know that he is the Son of God, knows that he is the Messiah, that he is the Saviour. He's opened our eyes. We are no longer blind. He's shown us his light. He's shown us his truth. And we choose to accept or reject that truth. And the decision we make now affects where we spend eternity. Keller's reminding us here that Advent, it's not about self-improvement. It's not about trying to be good. It's all about divine intervention. It's all about God stepping into the world. It's all about the Saviour coming for you and for me. Coming for the person walking by the church right now and ignoring that God is real. He came for each and every one of us. Let me give you some Advent illustrations of hope this morning. Let's start with a candle in the window. Apparently, according to Google, in some European villages, families used to place a candle in the window during Advent as a sign of waiting and as a sign of hope, hoping for a traveller to come home, hoping for safety, hoping for peace. The light from one candle could change the feeling of the entire house. Friends, Jesus is the light that changed the whole world. Advent is God placing the candle of Christ, the light of Christ, into the darkness of humanity. He's illuminating the way, the truth, and the life that is available to all who believe and trust in him. Let's give you another example, a broken watch. There's a man who found his childhood watch. It was long broken. It had been discarded in the back of a drawer. But he took it to a master watchmaker who opened it and smiled and said, "I made this watch. I know how to fix it." Church, the Creator who made you has come to restore you. Advent hope, it's not about self-repair. It's not about us trying to fix ourselves. It's all about divine restoration. It's all about what Christ does. Yes, we need to choose him. Yes, we need to turn to him. Yes, we need to repent and place our faith and trust in Jesus. But he's the one who does all the heavy lifting. He's the one who does all the repair work. He is the one that takes something which is broken and makes it whole. Will you trust him this Advent? Will you trust him this Christmas? Let me bring you the gospel. Advent hope fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Advent points us not only to the cradle, but it points us to the cross. It points us towards what would happen next. Yes, the virgin birth was the impossible entry. Jesus enters the world in a miraculous way. But it's humble, his birth. You'd expect a king, a saviour, to be born in a palace, to be born somewhere at least clean, but to be born in a cave or a stable, to have no bed, but to be laid in a manger. That is a miracle in itself. But then there's the sinless life that he led, the impossible standard that he was able to live by, because he was fully God and fully man. Jesus lived perfectly. Where we stumble, where we fall, he was triumphant. And then the crucifixion, the impossible sacrifice. Jesus bore the punishment for sins that he did not commit. He took the punishment for our sins upon himself. He suffered, he bled, he died for you and for me. And then there's the resurrection, the impossible victory. Death lost. The grave collapses. Death is defeated and hope rises from the grave. Advent whispers what Easter shouts. God does the impossible to save those who will believe and trust in him as Lord and Saviour. The baby in the manger becomes the conquering king. The baby in the manger becomes the risen Saviour and Lord. Let me give you a call to action this morning. Go and live in Advent hope. If you're a believer this morning, go and trust that God keeps his promises. Go and anchor your hope, not in news headlines, but in scripture. Go and pray bold Advent prayers. Go and reflect Christ's life in the dark places of this world. Be salt, be light. Maybe you're one of those people who are struggling this morning. Well, Advent hope is not a denial of the pain that we experience. But what it is a declaration that pain does not get the last word. Suffering does not get the last word. And if you're seeking to know what the truth about God is this morning, our greatest impossibility is not your situation. The greatest impossibility is the weight of sin that you are currently carrying. All of us have sinned. We all fall short of God's standard. God is perfect, we are not. But Jesus has come to remove the separation between man and God, woman and God. Jesus has paid the price that allows us to return to relationship with our Heavenly Father. Jesus removed the impossible barrier that was there, the barrier of our sin. And when we trust in him, we can know forgiveness. We can know eternal life. We can know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. If I were to give you an invitation to salvation this morning, I would simply say, friend, Christ came for each and every one of us. Christ came for you. He is the one who is the light in the darkness. He is the hope in our despair. He is the Saviour for our sin. And he calls us to repent. He calls us to turn from our sin, to trust in him and him alone as Lord and Saviour. And when we come to him, he forgives us. He forgives us. He makes us new. But we have to place our hope in him. We have to take that step of faith. Today can be Advent for each and every one of us. Today, hope is arrived. Has arrived. So my encouragement to you is go and hope in the God of the impossible. Go and hope in the one who is able. Go and hope in the one who knows you even better than you know yourself. And friends, as we step into this first week of Advent, may the hope of God fill our hearts. May the God of the impossible strengthen our faith. May the light of the world shine through our lives to those that we meet. And may each of us wake each day and walk each day knowing, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen.